Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official Podnuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 259. Podnuts Daily is a podcast about computer repair. We have computer repair technicians from all over the world come on the show and give us tips and tricks, tell us what's going on in their life computer repair-wise, and hopefully help you computer techs out that are out there. And even if you're not a computer tech, this show is for anybody who has an interest in computers. Today, joining us is Anthony from BlackFlagSolutions.com. How's it going today, Anthony?
It's going well. It's going well. I'm glad we're past the technical difficulties.
Oh, man. You didn't have to tell everybody.
Hey, it's a podcast. Let's keep it real.
Yeah, good move. What's Black Flag Solutions?
Black Flag Solutions, initially, I just wanted just to fix computers.
But, Wait, say that again. You broke up. It's still breaking up a little bit. But
oh, really? Okay, I'm sorry. When I first started Black Flag Solutions, I was just interested in fixing people's computers.
Right.
But now I see like the market is so huge. And I mean, there's so many cool things people can do with technology that like they don't know about. And at Black Flag, we want to put that information out there. We want to let people know how to get the most out of your computer, your laptop, your $200 Logitech remote, everything. You know, anything that has to do with tech, I would like to be able to facilitate to my customer.
That's a good. That's good. I mean, especially with those Harmony remotes. I mean, the main reason I never bought one is because I don't even know what it would do.
Oh, well, hey, give me a call, man. I'll tell you how to work it.
Now, I gotta say, Black Flag Solutions sounds a little dark.
Well, me and my buddies, man, we came up with the name deployed to Kuwait because if you're in the military, you know that a black flag condition is bad. So it's kind of like a play on words, you know.
Black flag solutions, you know,
we have a solution to your, you know, the black flag.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of catchy, and you know, our little slogan is, you know, we have the solution to your computer woes.
I like it.
Real simple.
So you have military background?
Yeah. Yep. I was aircraft maintenance for 10 years, but the entire time I was in, I always was the computer guy.
Right.
You know, hey man, my computer crashed. Can you take a look at it? And kind of finally said, you know what? I can make some good money doing this on the side. And Yeah,
you know, it's kind of, isn't it the worst? Because I've been at jobs too, where your actual job has nothing to do with computers, but you end up being the computer guy, and then it makes it so that's all you want to do because that's what you like. But it's not your job. You know, yeah, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, you know, you're doing like two or three jobs at once.
Right. Exactly.
But
so what do you do now? What do you still in the Air Force or?
No, I got out the Air Force in April. 10 years. But right now I work at the Air Force Help Desk. I do system administration, troubleshooting, you know, creating accounts, using directory assistance, stuff like that.
Wow. Did you ever get a call like from somebody in a jet going, man, I just got a blue screen of death and I'm in a dog. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in the middle of a dog fight and I got a blue screen. What do I do?
Control alt delete. Control alt delete.
That's awesome. All right. Well, you said you brought a lot of cool stuff today, so I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Right now, you know, since there's a little bit of recession, people aren't buying new computers like they used to. They're doing a whole lot of buying old computers, you know, at yard sales and stuff.
Right.
And I've had about four or five in a row that they were all XP machines, and people were selling them just because they had viruses. My homeboy picked up a computer for $25. The whole thing, the monitor, mouse, keyboard, everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was it though? Pentium 2?
It's like Pentium 3.
All right. Okay.
Not Pentium 3. Okay. But I mean, 25 bucks. He got it for his kids. So he dropped it off and it had 925 viruses.
It was running XP, you said?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was running XP. And believe it or not, Spybot. Spybot, I actually had to get into the command prompt and force Spybot to actually work.
Yeah, you were talking about this a little before we started the show. You're like, you're liking the command line these days.
Yeah, I used to be terrified of the command prompt.
Say it again. For some reason, we're just going to have to cope with this the way it is, but for some reason, about every 2 minutes, your audio goes out for about 1 second. So I just don't want to miss any keywords you say.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll talk slower.
No, it's not your fault. But so you use the command line with SpyBot. That's where we got you last.
Right. Yeah. And I used to be terrified of the command line.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, like you don't ever really use it. But at my new job, we use the command line a lot. And now I see this pure awesomeness of the command line because, I mean, you can just force programs to work sometimes. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you can just force it and they'll work. But especially SpyBot and XP is compatible. It works great. I had to scrub it a few times with SpyBot. Then I used CC Cleaner to clean the registry.
Gotcha.
And I zapped it one more time with Malwarebytes. And, you know, that's kind of like what I do now. You know, when I get an XP machine, that's the first thing I do. Safe mode. SpyBot, CC Cleaner, Malwarebytes, call it good.
And now, do you always run SpyBot from the command line or just when you need to?
No, I only do that when I have to.
Right. And what do you just go to the command line, type spybot.exe or what?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good.
It's you know, and it's so simple.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. A lot of times, you know, I used to run Malwarebytes because, in a lot of cases, because it wouldn't allow me to run other programs, and sometimes it wouldn't even let you run Malwarebytes, and you have to change the name of Malwarebytes and stuff. So there's always cool tricks to actually start running programs. That's the problem. Once you get one started, then you can do some cleaning. But I gotta say, you're like the third person recently that's been mentioning SpyBot. It's experiencing a resurgence, I must say.
I mean, it found like dialers. I was like, for real, this computer had a dialer on it? Like, how long has this been here?
Well, I mean, you got to figure. You got a Pentium. If that was the original XP install on a Pentium 3, that's like, I don't know how it wouldn't have that on it. But I don't know if it was the original install. Because that's old. I mean, that's just getting up there.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, it's good. As long as those programs cleaned it up, that's nice.
Yeah, that. And I'm a big fan when it comes to laptops, and you know, you just get a virus that, you know, it won't let you run anything. You know, as soon as you plug in a USB stick, you know, it blocks it. I'm a big fan of just cutting it off, taking the battery out, take the hard drive out, put it in the closure, and work at it from that angle.
Now, how do you do? You put it in an enclosure. What do you run on it? And what is your bench machine? What operating system is your bench machine running?
Oh, the bench machine I use here at the house is Vista.
Okay. And
I don't have 7 yet.
And that's cool. And what do you do to the hard drive once you put it in the enclosure?
I just scan it out. I have it set up so that when the computer recognizes my enclosure, it automatically quarantines it.
Oh, cool. What program do you have that does that, or is that Vista doing that?
That's actually in Vista. I use AVG and I designate a port so that, you know, as soon as it gets plugged in, it recognizes it and it's quarantined. Because AVG doesn't, the free AVG doesn't have a quarantine folder that you can just really get to. But when you buy it, you know, when you actually pay for one, that's when that option becomes available.
And what does that do? It allows nothing to be written from the external hard drive to your computer? Or?
Right.
Neat.
Yep. That's complete protection.
And that's AVG, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
And from that, you know, it's easy for you to zap the viruses and everything. You know, all the registry errors. It's just so easy to clean it when it's, you know, in the little enclosure.
Right.
Because you don't have to fight with anything.
I know what you mean. And but you know what I used to do? See, I didn't go as far as scanning it, so that's a great idea what you're doing. It does take some work though to get the hard drive out. It takes a little time, but it's no big deal. But I used to love doing things from a live CD. This way, you wouldn't have to take the drive out. You know, if you run like Ultimate Boot CD for Win on the actual computer on that laptop with the infected hard drive, you could do stuff to that hard drive without even having to take it out or run a Linux distribution on it. See, I got used to doing that more so for doing protecting and copying files from that hard drive to another place rather than doing scans. But, you know, again, you're not the first person that likes to take drives out, put them in an enclosure, hook them up to a bench machine and do scans on them. So it's workable. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm just making it as easy as possible for myself.
Right.
You know, and I sometimes fighting those viruses. I mean, it just gives you a headache.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good, man. Good tips so far.
Well, thank you.
What else you got for us?
I'm also a big fan, like I mentioned earlier, of letting people know that connecting your desktop to your big screen TV is so easy. And I mean, to me, it's like a no-brainer kind of thing to do.
Yeah. Well, what, expound on that, would you?
Oh, okay. Pretty much as long as your computer has an HDMI out, you can connect it to a big screen of any size.
Right.
And all you gotta do is just tweak the resolution, get a wireless mouse, a wireless keyboard, and
and what do you do with it? You watch TV on it, or?
Yeah, well, I watch stuff, the internet, play games.
Do you have a TV tuner card hooked up, or you just use internet viewing TV shows?
I just use internet right now. I'm definitely going to be getting a TV tuner card.
Yeah.
That's something that's definitely on the shopping list.
And what do you... Well, I guess you don't use Windows Media Center then.
Nah. Yeah. Nah, I'm not a fan of Media Center.
I'll tell you what, though. Once you get a TV tuner card, you're going to like it. Media Center is, and it always has been, a really sweet interface. It really is. And if you get a TV tuner card that's compatible, you can just watch HDTV and use Media Center as your TiVo.
Yeah, you know, there was a guy on last week, the guy from Big Boy, I can't remember the name of his, company, whatever. Right. But he said that, you know, he had the Media Center set up with the video game emulators and.
You're probably talking about Jason from Little Geek Shop, right?
Oh, okay. That's it. That's
it. Yeah.
That's it. And, I had no idea you could do that, but I've read into it, and that is actually pretty cool.
What, emulating old arcade games?
Well, no, I mean, I didn't know you could run that through Media Center like that.
Yeah, well, he doesn't play the games through Media Center, does he?
See, I mean, that's the way it kind of sounded to me.
Oh. Yeah, no, Media Center always has had these options for, like, running apps from Media Center, and I never touched it.
Yeah, me neither.
That might be what he was talking about, or he just has it, you know, hooked up through Windows, just normal desktop, but
yeah, he might.
I'll tell you what I've been wanting to do since we started doing Linux for the rest of us is I want to set up, because I agree with you, hooking a computer up to the TV is something that not many people have done, and everybody should definitely do. Oh, it's the computer.
Everybody.
The computer is like so many times more powerful than any desk or set top box you can buy. As long as you get the right apps on the thing, you can just do anything a set-top box can do. And there's a Linux distribution just for that purpose, and it's called Element My PC. And every day, I think about doing it. I just never get up enough energy to actually go install it and hook it up. But there's some great Linux distributions just for, you know, hooking your computer up to your TV. So that's something else to look at, too, besides Windows.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Check well, you know, I got a little test bed here that I play with. So, yeah, you know, that might be something I might have to get into.
Yeah.
Also, you know, when I was talking about the whole stuff for free, I don't know people know how good OpenOffice is.
Tell us.
Well, OpenOffice is the Linux version of Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. You don't have to pay for it.
Right.
Open Office can read all Office docs. It has its own kind of Excel. It kind of has its own version of PowerPoint.
Right.
But Open Office can read all the Microsoft stuff,
especially the DocX, which is
right
the main thing you want it for.
Right. Right. It's just that, you know, Office can't read Open Office for obvious reasons.
Right. I guess that's the trick then. If you do install OpenOffice on somebody's computer, you got to make sure it defaults to setting it to save as a Word document, you know, in case they want to go sending files off to all their colleagues,
right,
and whatnot.
Right, right. But Open Office is great. And when I tell people about it, they're like, what is that? And then when they go like look at it and download it, they go, I can't believe this has been here all this time. Right. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's free. But it's crazy. Like, you know, when it comes to like tech stuff and like programs and apps, yeah, you know, like you hear about the apps and the programs that you have to pay for. But, you know, like the IT guys, you know, we know about the free stuff that's out there that is just as good or if not better. You know, you got OpenOffice, which is great. Everyone should know about VLC Media Player.
Right.
Because, I mean, it plays everything pretty much.
It is amazing. It is like my solution to debugging. Any time a problem, somebody has a problem with watching my laptop repair videos on QuickTime, I say download VLC, end of story. Works every time.
Yeah, VLC. Also, you know, like, instead of using Photoshop, which Photoshop is a phenomenal program. It's great.
But man. Wait, say it again?
You know, to get like the, to get like the full-blown Photoshop, I mean, you know, that would cost you when, you know, if you're not going to be doing really graphic intensive stuff, you know, there are free apps. There's paint.net. That's a good one. And also you have GIMP.
Yes.
And GIMP, I think, and Steve, I don't know how you feel about this, I think GIMP is like Photoshop on crack because the options you have for it are just mind numbing.
So you're saying crack is a good thing?
Oh, no. Come on now.
I know what you mean. Don't worry about it. No, I've used GIMP only a few times, but see, I'm not a heavy Photoshop user, so I don't know layers and brushes and all the cool stuff that you can do, really. But so GIMP has a lot of features that even Photoshop doesn't have?
It's just GIMP pretty much does everything Photoshop does for free. I think GIMP, it's a real good option as opposed to Photoshop. You know, if you're not going to be doing like heavy high-end stuff, paint.net and GIMP, they're the solutions, they'll work. And also, they got the right price tag, which is free.
Yeah.
And the average customer loves free.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have to tell you, if anybody's not listening to Linux for the Rest of Us, I keep bringing it up because you're talking about apps that we covered on recently on the show. I get more and more. I used to be definitely like, oh, I got to buy this software and I put out the money for it and I buy it and it works good and everything. But there is, like you said, there's so many free alternatives of stuff that is really, really good.
Oh, man. Good.
And there's just so much of it that you really start to change a viewpoint. And then, you know, the final frontier is actually breaking into using open source operating systems. But right now, using open source software on your existing operating system is like dipping your toe in the water there. But, I'm agreeing with you. The free apps you got that are out there are just amazing. And of course, you know, people who are, okay, it's free, but they want you to donate this kind of thing. Okay, well, then donate if you want to donate. But the fact is you don't really have to unless they tell you you have to. So,
yeah. You know, like Umbatu is free because the way they get their money is, you know, the customer service stuff they do.
Right.
You know, right. You know, that's how they get their money.
Right.
And also, big fan of Umbatu.
Ubuntu.
That too. Yeah, that one. a big fan of it. You know, it took me a minute to actually fully wrap my head around it and actually get it running right.
Yeah.
But
it's getting so good now that it just pops all the drivers in automatically for you.
Oh, man. Because when I first had to do it, I mean, it took me like a week of me like bashing my head against the keyboard.
Really? Did you try installing it on a laptop? Yeah.
I threw it on an old XP machine.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you know, someone gave it to me.
Hey, no, actually, that should work even better than a newer machine.
You know, and, I mean, I still have it. It's my test bed, and it works like a charm.
Good.
I like it.
You're not going to get viruses on that. I can't say it's 100% virus-free, but...
Well, it's not 100%, but the way I explain it to people that it was explained to me is that Window-based viruses speak English. The Linux stuff speaks French.
Okay.
That was the layman term it was explained to me.
Meaning like most people speak English?
No, no. I'm just saying that, well, yeah, I guess that too. But, you know, like...
I know what you're saying. Like,
you know, it's, they speak two different languages.
Yeah, it's two different languages, so you can't infect one and infect the other at the same time.
Right.
I agree with you.
You know, and it just won't work at all, which is it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Open source is it's really gaining my attention anyway.
Oh, man, yeah. It has my attention, and I try to facilitate all the information to my customers. You know, like, you know, whenever I go clean someone's computer, I actually show them what I'm doing, and I show them all the viruses. And then, you know, I just ask them, like, hey, you know, like, what websites were you going to? And I'm not even going to list some of the sites that my customers go to, and I say, you know what? That's probably a bad idea. You know, why are you downloading something from LimeWire?
Right.
You know, let's not do that.
Well, I mean, if they ever say because it's free, just you hand them your bill and you say, okay, it's not free.
You know,
you're paying me. I mean, of course, you don't want to like lose all your business. But I used to say, you know, to my customers, their kids would always like download all stuff on LimeWire. Oh yeah, this is free music. Well, yeah, you just paid me $80, so you could have bought 80 songs from iTunes. You know, it's like it's not free.
That's true. That's true. That's true. You know, Steve, this is just for you.
Yeah.
I was in Best Buy, right? I was in Best Buy buying this headset because my car got broke into and my nice Bluetooth headset got stolen.
Good, because that sounds like crap on a podcast.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
not good. It's not good that it got stolen.
So,
what was it? There. A Logitech or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot in tech. So, you know, I'm there. I'm looking for a headset. And, you know, I see this older lady. And she's like, you know, I just want RAM. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, like the RAM's right over there. And she's like, good. I was like, no, I'm Anthony. I'm a computer guy. And she was like, oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad you don't work here. They're trying to get me to buy a computer. And I just want RAM.
Really?
And I was like, are you serious? She was like, yeah, you know, I just want a gig of RAM. Can you show me where a gig of RAM is? And I was like, yeah, you know, a gig of RAM, you know, it's right here. And I was like, what kind do you need? And she was like, I think it was DDR2. I was like, okay, here, you know, this is what you need. And, you know, we had a quick little conversation and she has the same router I have. I have a Linksys E3000.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome router.
Okay.
And she was having a problem with her Cisco Magic. So I gave her my business card and I think I'm going over there Wednesday to go take a look at her network and see what's going on with it. But it seems like every time I go to Best Buy, I strum up business. It's kind of weird, but
it's, you know, I know what you're saying. It's not as weird as you think because they're maybe unknowingly. I don't want to say this, but they really screw a lot of customers. So,
oh man,
the customers know that, and you could probably stand in a computer section all day and drum up business. So.
Just hand out my card.
Yeah.
Here. I don't work here, but I'm hanging out here.
Right.
Here's your card.
It might be a good idea to set up a little table, like right in front of the computer section, just promote your business.
Really, just set it up. Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over quite well, Steve. Thanks. But that's a good story, though. Yeah, but it seems like every time I go in, but seriously, like people who are listening to this podcast, like please just do this. Go into Best Buy and just act clueless.
Yeah.
And listen to what they tell you. This dude tried to sell me $120 HDMI cables.
Wow. What did he say?
Oh, he was like, he was talking about like the bandwidth and the speed. And on my phone, I had pulled up on CNET.com.
Yeah.
This thing they did with HDMI cables, how they said, like, you know, the $2 ones are just as good as $120
ones. Right.
And he was like, no, but you know, if you don't use these cable and this TV, you know, your picture is not going to look right. And I was like, really? Oh, and it's only $120? I was like, I'll take two. And he was like, oh, yeah, great. And, you know, like, I was like, yeah, dude, I'm not buying this. So you are ripping these people off. This is incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I think it's really important that, like, you know, us as tech guys, we inform our customer. You know?
Totally.
Like, you know, like we need to let them know that, you know, like what's good, what isn't, and things that we're kind of on the fence on.
I agree with you totally.
You know, like $100, $120 HDMI cables or $120 any cables, unless it's fiber optic, is pointless.
I agree with you. I'm telling you, I remember we went in Tweeter one time. This was like 4 years ago. And my dad just bought a Sony flat screen TV right when they were getting pretty big, like the LCDs were getting really big. And he bought a $120 DVI cable. I was about to kick his butt. I said, he's like, I'm here. I just want to get it done. I just want this. You know, he basically trusted them more than me saying we could get this on eBay or mono price for like 10 bucks. And he bought it. And I that's how most people are, man. They fall for that because, you know, who are they going to believe? You or, in the store, they see that all these cables are actually that price. Why would they not believe that that's the price that these things are going for? They don't go on mono price. They don't know what that is. You know,
or even eBay. Like, yeah. I don't understand why people are so afraid of eBay. eBay is great if you know what you're buying.
I know.
And you know who you're getting it from.
I agree with you so much on eBay. Most people think that eBay is full of scammers and all you get on there is used stuff. That's the impression most people have of eBay.
No. eBay is not Craigslist.
Yes, you're right.
And, you know, and actually everything on Craigslist isn't complete trash either. But I mean... Right.
Well, you just have to be savvy to shop on Craigslist. You have to really know your stuff.
Oh. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. But, also, man, I wanted to ask you about pricing because I hear people, you know, they throw their prices out and most of the time you either say, ah, man, too high, too low. I rarely hear that, you know, you like that price. Like now, since I'm here in San Antonio, it seems that, you know, I charge $120 for virus removal, clean sweep, you know, I'll take care of everything, $120. It's $120 if I come there to your house. It's $120 if you drop it off. Hmm. It's $120. But then I load up all the free stuff that I use to get rid of the viruses also.
Okay.
And like some of my friends, they say that's too much. But then when I go to some of these other computer shops around here just to get a feel, I see that like what the price that I'm offering ain't too bad.
Is it working for you?
Yeah. People initially did like $120, and then I was like, but you know, have you checked out Geek Squad? Have you checked out this? I mean, that's how much they're going to charge you. And they go, oh, well, okay. And then, you know, they get their computer back and it's fine. It has no bugs.
Right. I think that if it works for you, use it, do it. It's different for all locations. I mean, I hear people all over the place saying, you know, some people charge $20, some people charge $120. I can't say because I don't live in that area, but I mean, some guys in small towns, they charge much less than guys who are in like the big cities. I don't know. I think that it's a good price.
That's true.
I think what you're charging is a good price. And if it's working for you, charge it. It's like, you know, like Chris from Tech Adventure says, it's like whatever. You know, actually, I forget how we worded it, but I think it's whatever the market will bear. Just if you make as much as you can, you know,
that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, you consider fair. I think that's a fine price.
That's what I'm trying to do, and also here in the San Antonio area, man. Let me tell you what I think. I have completely found the mother load of customer base.
What?
The Hispanics. Why is that? Because like a lot of the guys I talk to. You know, like when I mention computer stuff, they're all like, oh, man, you know, my computer's all broke. And, you know, and most of them are Hispanic. And then, you know, when I kind of like ask them like simple questions, like they're completely lost. So I know that I have to definitely learn Spanish. I'm not saying it'd be funny. I'm being very serious. Like from a business point of view, I need to learn Spanish because the Hispanic market here, it seems like they're hurting for a computer guy.
Yeah. And, you know, Jose from computerdoctor.com, he said the same thing. He actually targets the Hispanic community and puts English and Spanish on his website.
Man, I definitely need, because my website now, it looks pretty crappy. I'm just waiting a few more months so I can rebuy the URL and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But as soon as I do that, English, Spanish, that's a must.
Nice.
That's a must.
I agree, man. If you're finding that's the mother load, then
dig
into that. Definitely.
It's the mother load. Because the guy who replaced the glass in my car today, I was talking to him. And when I explained to him how easy it was to website and make it searchable.
Wait, to do what? You cut out for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. To design a website and make it searchable on Yahoo and Google.
Yeah.
Like, I told him, he was like, well, I don't understand that, but, you know, I'll just pay you and just make it happen.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
Well, how much do you charge for a website?
You know, I don't even know how to price that because I haven't even designed a site in years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. You know, I might even pro bono this one just because I know that he's an auto glass guy. You know, he fixes people's glass in multiple locations. Chances are, if he gets to talking and say, hey, you know, this guy fixed my computer, they'll be like, who?
Nice.
Oh, man, he did my website for free.
Yeah, that's great. Great.
You know? And, you know, I probably will do his pro bono. I'll probably just do it completely for free just because that I will get some awesome publicity from it.
Yeah, and it's good practice for you, too, I guess.
And that, too. Practice is very important in this trade. You know, you can't wake up on a Monday and be really good at fixing computers Tuesday.
Exactly.
You know, if you think that, you're lying to yourself.
same thing with web design. It's daunting. It's when you get into those kind of fields, it's one thing opens up a whole can of worms. Like if you say, "Oh, I'll just do this in HTML." Okay, so you learn like a little piece of HTML, then you realize you need to learn CSS. Yeah, and so you learn CSS, and then you find out that you have to learn PHP, and then you have to learn like MySQL, and it just branches all out, and it gets kind of crazy. But you know, the fact that you could do a website for somebody, and it's good to get some practice, and it gets the word of mouth out.
Yeah, definitely, and you know, it's going to be an easy way for me to show people like what I can do.
Right.
Because I'm sure he's going to say, hey, you know, this guy, you know, he hooked up my website, this is how it looks.
Right.
Here's his card. Because I definitely gave him some of my cards, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, if he's driving all around helping people, then that's a great way to make great contact to have.
Oh, yeah. You know, especially, you know, since right now, you know, like I don't have a store or nothing. You know, computers just come into the house, they leave.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I have, like, no overhead, I guess.
Right. That's good.
Also, I've completely been mesmerized by the Linksys E3000 router.
Mesmerized.
It's awesome.
It is?
Yeah.
Now, let me pull this up on the website. E3000.
I mean, I like it because I use Network Magic, and I'm able to file share between all my computers.
What's Network Magic?
Network Magic, it's a product through Cisco that allows you to file share, and file share really... Pretty much with no effort. I believe Windows 7 now has very similar. But you know, I got this whole setup before Windows 7 came out, and before I was actually comfortable with the idea of Windows 7 because, you know, we went through the birth of Vista. So,
all right,
nightmare. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nightmare, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know, but you can check it out. The E3000, it's a pretty heavy duty router. It's good for gaming. And right now, what all is on it? We have three laptops and two desktops, and my test bed. That sometime is on the network. But it's awesome. I like it. Good signal. The signal never drops with the wireless.
It looks cool. It looks like a Lamborghini.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, it really looks like what this router should look, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have all the crazy antennas and stuff.
Right. I agree with you.
No, it's real sleek.
Nice.
But, I like that. It works real good. And, you know, like when I talk to my customers and, you know, we're talking about routers, you know, I always ask, like, you know, like, what are you going to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not going to be doing like any heavy gaming or, you know, if you're not doing anything that requires, you know, a lot of bandwidth to get pushed, you don't need the E3000.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just don't need it.
Right.
You know, you'll be wasting money. But if you are a gamer, by all means, definitely get it. I mean, for $149, the bang for the buck is right there.
That's expensive for a router. You could get like a Airport Express.
Really? See, I don't know, man. Like, to me, I believe, you know, you pay for what you get. And Cisco, you know, when it comes to, I believe in Cisco.
Sounds good.
Yeah. What do you have there, Steve?
I have a Belkin Wireless N. I don't know the exact model on it. I bought it a couple years ago, actually. And hopefully that's not the cause of all the trouble I'm having these days. But I'll tell you what, once I do set up a new shop here, definitely I'm just getting an app. I've heard that an Apple Airport Express. Because I've just heard the least amount of complaints about that. It might not be the fastest router out there, but I've heard the least amount of complaints from that. So that I'm just going to go with that and to be safe. But I'll look into Cisco. I'll look into the Linksys.
Okay. And also, what's really cool about that router is that I have a terabyte external hard drive plugged directly into it.
Right. That's cool. Would it have a USB on it?
Yeah. Yeah, it has USB. So, I mean, it's kind of like the server in the house.
That drive? Yeah, it's like a NAS.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, you know, because I got it partitioned up so that the laptops automatically drop an image on it every Monday.
Oh, cool. What programs do you use for that? Just your operating system? Or?
Yeah. I just set up with the operating system.
Cool.
You know, I didn't use anything fancy.
Right, right.
I just actually used what was there in Windows.
No kidding.
Which, I mean, surprisingly, I was a little worried. I was kind of leery. But, yeah, no problems.
Well, that's good you have no problems. I remember I think I tried to do a backup to a NAS using Vista, and it wouldn't work with a network drive. It just didn't have that feature. Something might have changed, or it might have been actually Windows 7 release candidate. I can't remember, but one version of Windows I had, it was either Vista or 7, just wouldn't allow me to backup to a network drive. So,
really? Well, yeah, I don't have that problem.
Okay,
I
mean, that's good.
Yeah, it works just fine.
Good.
But you know, but the option of having that terabyte of space is always there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I don't have to go upstairs and grab the router. I mean, grab the hard drive. You know, it's just there.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like our house. You know, we have like a cloud network.
Well, because it all goes to the terabyte drive.
Yeah.
So you have a cloud in your house.
I guess, kind of.
If it's in your house, then again, you got a cloudy house.
See, that's funny.
All right, what else you got?
That's about it, man. That's about it.
All right, let me read some emails before something else goes wrong. Just this show, of no fault of Anthony's, has just been glitch after glitch for me. I'm sorry, man. I feel bad about it. But let me just read some emails. We got a bunch of them, I think, about six. I'll read a couple of them. We'll save some for Wednesday. Here's another email or a horror Geek Squad horror story from Nick. He says,
yes,
Nick says, this is Nick again from Vermont. I wanted to share an experience I had with the Geek Squad. A while ago, I had a customer come to me about fixing a laptop, and I fixed it, and I even brought it down to her house. When I was there, she asked me if I could take a look at her desktop. So I said, sure. She told me she'd been paying for internet and haven't been able to use it. There was that yellow annoying triangle on the network connectivity icon in the tray area. So I said, okay, let's check the TCP/IP settings. And it was all set to auto. Nothing was changed. It all seemed normal. Then I asked her where the cable and modem was, and she showed me. Now, before I continue, I wanted to say that the Geek Squad had helped set up their network, and it didn't even work, and they charged them roughly around $150, according to their invoice. I was like, wow, and they didn't even get it to work and charge them anyway. I was kind of upset that the Geek Squad would do that, and I don't support Geek Squad. Well, after taking a look, I figured out that the Geek Squad connected the Ethernet cable from the PC to the WAN port of the router, and the Ethernet cable from the modem into port 1 of the integrated switch. So I just swapped the cable quickly, and it worked fine. She was really happy to finally get the internet. Geek Squad also set up WEP. WEP, which is just wrong. And any geek could get into WEP network easily. So I set up WPA2 on the router, set up their laptop so it connected to the router. I felt bad that the Geek Squad charged them $150 and couldn't even get it to work, so I didn't charge them much. She was so happy that she even hugged me. I was happy to be able to fix it for her. Best regards, Nick. There you go, man. Of course, wow. Of course, you know, I would like some rebuttals from the Geek Squad. You know, email the show and tell me these things aren't happening. If this is not true, you know what I mean? Like, it can't be. You know, I hate to be so one-sided, but like, you know, horror story after horror story, something's wrong here, you know?
That's pretty funny, though, man.
You believe they did
I'm
that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I love that they charge her even though it never worked. Like, oh, okay, it doesn't work, but we'll see you later, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, here's the bill.
Right.
Enjoy that fast internet.
I know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nick. This is one from Russ. He says, this is Russ Wenner from the Techie Geek, and that's at thetechiegeek.com. I used to call it a Linux show, the Techie Geek, but, Russ covers pretty much everything. He's Windows and Linux and all over the place. So it's a more broad show than I originally said. So sorry for miscategorizing that. Russ, thank you for, writing into us. He says, this has to be the funniest Windows error I have ever come across. And it's, I'll give you the URL. It's support.microsoft.com/KB/261186. I'm going to go to that site right now. And the error is, this is pretty funny. Computer randomly plays classical music. This article was previously published under Q261186. The summary, during normal operation in safe mode, your computer may play Fur Elise or It's a Small, Small World seemingly at random. This is an indication sent to the PC speaker from the computer's BIOS that the CPU fan is failing or has failed, or that the power supply voltages have drifted out of tolerance. This is a design feature of a detection circuit and systems BIOS is developed by Unicore from 1997 on. So if your computer starts playing randomly Fur Elise or It's a Small, Small World, it's an indication that your CPU fan is failing or has failed. This is from Microsoft support, guys. Just letting you know. That's amazing. Did you ever hear that error?
Man, that is pretty awesome.
It's nuts. I love it.
Wow.
All right, there's another one from Nick. He says, hey, Steve, thought you might like to read this detailed tech support study for 2010. Everyone who listens to PodNuts or is planning to buy a new PC or Apple should find this study very informative. Let me go to the website here. I'll give you the URL. It's laptopmag.com. If you do a search on laptopmag.com for Tech Support Showdown 2010, Tech Support Showdown 2010, they basically go through... they call and they try to get tech support from different laptop manufacturers, and they cover Acer, Apple, Asus, Dell, Fujitsu, Gateway, HP, Lenovo, MSI, Samsung, Sony, Toshiba, and they compare them all. Check it out. It's a really good write-up, and looks like they did a little legwork on that and got some good results. By the way, Apple scored really, really high. And other companies did well. Some companies did better than others in certain areas, but I love these studies. It's good consumer knowledge, especially if you're interested in buying a laptop.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
that's very true. And also, you know, like if you're buying a laptop, if you speak Indian, you're good.
Oh, man, there's a sitcom on it's called Outsourced.
I seen that.
You believe that?
I seen
that. It's so bad. You got to figure that whole industry is so bad. They made a sitcom on it on a major TV network.
Yeah, I know, right? And I like it.
Did you watch it? It's good?
Yeah, I watch it because, you know, I mean, like, I work, you know, in the help desk environment now.
Is it like, I never watched an episode, but is it like what they portray?
Oh, man, it's pretty funny because, like, you know, like working where I work at, you know, supporting the Air Force, we support all the civilian contractors that work for the Air Force also. So, you know, like the bases are in Spain.
Right.
They have, you know, Spanish employees who speak English, have that thick accent.
Really?
So, you know, like we get them on the phone, you know, you're like, you know, so what's going on? And they start talking, and like sometimes, you know, you just gotta like pause and just, sir, can you please use a phonetic alphabet?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
An example today, I called Comcast to end my cable service here, which was a very fun thing to do. I said, at the end of the month, I'm moving. I want to end my internet and cable service. And so the guy's like, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Why are you ending your service? Is there any complaints? I go, yeah, I hate Comcast. I hate you guys. And he's like, I'm very sorry to hear you hate us. Why do you hate us? And I said, I live in Philadelphia, and I can't even watch my Philadelphia sports, like the Phillies and the Flyers, without
They're all blacked out.
They're all blacked out unless you have Comcast Sportsnet. And he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I could tell he wasn't from this country. So I said, you know what I mean? I'm like, do you like the Phillies? And he's like, no, I don't follow baseball. I'm like, well, what team do you like? And he actually said, the Philadelphia 76ers, which shocked me because I was basically trying to bust his, you know what. And he got me back.
He's
like, he got me. He's like, I'm like 76ers. Huh? I'm like, what do you like about them? And I thought he was just BSing. And he's like, no, I'm mad that Iverson left. And I don't know why he didn't get along with the coach. And he basically knew his stuff. So he got me good on that one. I'm like, okay, well, all right, fine. So I started off the call being a total jerk to him. And then finally he gained my respect. So good for
him. You know, he could have been Googling the 76ers the whole time.
yo, maybe he did. Good one.
You know, he had like the 76er wiki up.
Yeah, maybe.
I know the question to the answer.
Maybe. Good call. But and also Nick sent also along with this email. He goes, quick joke. Did you hear about the two iPhone 4s that got married but had a lousy reception? Very funny. So that's actually the joke. Did you hear about the two iPhone 4s that got married but had a lousy reception? Anyway, I stopped told Nick. I'm like, I'm like, I'm gonna read that on the show. I like that joke. I'm gonna incorporate that into some of my conversations tomorrow. All right, let me read one more email here, and then we'll end off. This is from DB. DB says, on the repair videos on screen diagnosis, you use different screens to test the inverter. The question is, if any screen can be lit by any inverter, why can't any inverter be used to operate any screen? Okay, he's talking about something from the laptop repair videos, and I actually made a free video about this, where when I wanted to test to see if the inverter was bad, which is the inverter is basically the little circuit board that powers your light bulb and your LCD screen. Sometimes the inverter goes bad and your screen goes dim, or sometimes your actual bulb goes bad and the screen goes dim. It's the same symptom, but there's two different solutions to it. So you have to figure out if it's the inverter that went bad that's causing your screen to go dim, or is it your bulb that went bad causing the screen to go dim? And I say in my video, I keep a collection of screens that I know have good bulbs. And when I want to test the inverter, I hook up all these screens to that inverter. And if the inverter lights those screens, then I know the inverter is okay. And it's your screen that's bad.
It's the screen that's bad.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he's asking, well, if any screen can be lit by any inverter, why can't any inverter be used to operate any screen? Well, here's the thing. When I do those tests, I look at the laptop in question and I say, okay, this laptop has a 14-inch screen. So I try to find a 14-inch screen to test the inverter with. I don't go extreme. Like, I don't just randomly pick up screens and hook them up to this inverter, because inverters do put out different voltages, okay? And bulbs can only accept certain voltages. So, for example, something that would be the wrong thing to do would be, say you have a 17-inch laptop, like a big 17 HP laptop, and you want to test your inverter. Don't take a 12-inch screen like from a Toughbook or a netbook
You're going to fry it.
Right. You're probably going to fry the screen because the inverter's putting out too much voltage. So when I do these tests, I want to just say it's not an exact science, but try to keep the screens the same size as the screen that's actually in the laptop. This way, you're getting a truer test. Now, it's not to say that this inverter won't burn out any of your screens, that your test screens even, but you have a much higher chance if you're using an inverter that lights a 14-inch screen to test it with a 14-inch screen as well. So it's not, you could use any inverter with any screen. I don't want that to be out there. It's try to keep it in the same realm, and it usually works that way. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, thanks.
And actually, you know, Steve, I had one more quick story for you.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Now since I work, you know, in the help desk enterprise environment, we work with Remedy. You know, we get trouble tickets.
Okay.
And I'm serious reading some of these tickets. Okay. This one here, like, I had to read it and then read it again and say, are you serious? Like, this really happened. Okay, so an office was having network connectivity issues.
Okay.
The technician was running the customer through, you know, different troubleshooting things, do you have a green light in the back of your PC? You know, is the cable even connected? I mean, simple questions.
Right.
Well, I guess the computer guy out of the bunch stood up and he started troubleshooting. Anyways, well, they thought the servers in their office were overheating. There are no servers in office. The computer guy thought that each tower was considered a server. So they opened the door, which is okay. You know, they opened the door. And then, he went and he was powering on and off the computers. Not necessarily a terrible thing to do.
Right.
But then he got aggressive and he killed the power that he thought he killed the power to their room. He killed the power to the floor, like the entire floor. So, of course, you know, we got flooded with calls after that happened because, you know, someone's on the computer and then poof,
oh, it's man. Gone. So he was having network connectivity problems.
Right.
He thought that all the computers were overheating and that's what was causing it. Right.
Right.
So he powered off the whole floor.
By accident.
Oh my gosh.
And we had some angry calls. Cause I mean, you know, I mean, that was straight data loss. You know, like if someone was messing with PowerPoint, gone. You know, someone typing up something on Word, gone. You know?
Gosh.
And it was a pretty big building. And oh man.
I mean, imagine.
I would hate to be that guy.
Oh man, he probably should be fired for that stunt.
But you know, like I was reading the ticket and I was like, he really cut the power to the floor? Why would he do that?
I don't know.
Servers? I was like, what servers? where are they in the closet?
That's great. That's great. What's his solution? Okay, so they're overheating. What's he going to just turn them all off forever? Like, what was it? What was his plan?
Hey, look, I
guess you can't rationalize with a dude like
there's
that.
There's no way to get in line of those guys. But actually, one more really good one.
Yeah.
And this is about Facebook here, too, because it just so happened that, Air Force members, they can use Facebook at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Well, I got a call from a guy. His Facebook chat was crashing his Windows Explorer.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, you call the Air Force help desk. He's like, yeah, I know, man. You know, Facebook chat just keeps crashing my Internet Explorer. And like, I had to put him on hold. And I was like, yo, you won't believe what this guy on the line is calling about. And they were like, trying to get his username and password, you know, and like mess with his Facebook. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, yo, if this dude is dumb enough on a government call to give me his Facebook information, I was like, I'll hook his account up.
So what did you do?
He gave it to me. I deleted it.
You did?
Yeah, I deleted it, and then I closed out the trouble ticket, you know, account deleted. Problem taken care of. Facebook was messing up your computer. You don't have it anymore.
You know what, though? If once he you could delete his account, but he has 15 days to log in. He probably didn't lose it. If he logs in within 15 days of you deleting it, He gets it back.
But I mean, but seriously, like, who does that? Like, why would you do that? Like, you know, if you worked for Sears, you know, would you call their help desk and say, man, you know, this YouTube is just slowing down my computer?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I get what you're saying.
You know, I couldn't believe it. And I did it. And my wife said I was a jerk for doing it. And I was like, babe, you know, it's the principality.
He deserved that 100%.
You know, like, why would you do that? You know, if someone on his Outlook, I got you. you need like a security update. You know, I'll remote in. Facebook? Are you serious? And then I was like, sir, are you sure? You know, this is the Air Force help desk. Are you sure? He was like, yeah, man, I just need some help. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hook you up.
That's awesome, man. He deserved it 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to talk about on Nuts at Night about the stupidities of things these days. But it's just if you're not a tech guy and you try to troubleshoot a computer, then funny things can happen.
Oh man, funny things. I'm just waiting to hear about someone's computer overheating and they poured water on it. That's what I'm getting for. You know what I mean?
If that ever happens, you gotta let me know. Send us a voicemail or something.
Man, like I'm just waiting because I mean, we've seen some good ones. I mean, we've seen some good ones. I mean, I don't have any written down, but I'll definitely be sure to keep track at work. Or if I come across some good stuff, you know, just fix computers.
Send me emails, voicemails, post them in the Podnuts forums. I think there's a whole section about that now, crazy computer jobs or something. But
definitely, man, I'll definitely hook that up.
Well, look, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Sorry about all the technical difficulties today. This was a crazy day. Hopefully we're approaching the end of this, but thanks, Anthony, for coming on the show.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much. And you guys, in the next few months, please check out blackflagsolutions.com. I'm going to completely redo it, and I'm going to be redoing the site with the tech builder stuff that is on podnuts.com because it's good stuff.
Good. Well, I'm glad you use that. You see, the tech site builder, it's for somebody who doesn't want to think really about learning how to design a site. Just because I basically give you the template of the site that I had when I had my computer repair business and my AdWords campaign, and that's what I use. That's what everything I use. So that's why I put it together. If you want to get creative and do your own site and learn how to do your own, go for it. I'm not, you know, there's no reason why you can't do that. Get as creative as you want. But if you just want like a template and say, okay, I want to start a computer repair business, how do I do it? Okay, boom, tech site builder. There you go. So,
yeah, I'm probably going to go with the tech site builder. And, you know, once I get my legs up under me, like with the whole website design stuff.
Yeah.
I'll sprinkle in a little something.
There you go.
But you know, I'm definitely a novice when it comes to website design. A novice.
Well, there's certain principles like that might not seem evident that a lot of people seem to miss about just business and advertising and marketing that are actually included in my site. As simple as it is, these elements are there. So, you know, try making a site on your own. Some of you guys, and if you're not getting business, then try a tech site builder. But I kind of liked web design at a certain point. It's fun. You get to design graphics and stuff. So it just depends on how creative you want to be. But there are certain marketing business things that you should know that are important about designing sites. So anyway, that's that. That's good luck. Good luck with Black Flag Solutions. I'll keep my eye on it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hey, I'm glad that you think the name is catchy.
It is catchy, but it seems dark. Like to me, yeah. I didn't know what a black flag situation was.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not a good one.
To me, I got the impression like it's something to do with pirates when I went to the site.
Yar! Give me your computer. That's so funny.
But okay, it's cool. It's pretty badass, actually. Pretty badass name, I think.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right, Anthony, and everybody else, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Sorry about the glitches today, and we'll get that cleared up real soon. So see everybody
blame
next
Comcast.
Week. Yeah, let's blame Comcast. Always.
Comcast.
All right, see you guys. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.